We're often caught up in the day-to-day rush of daily activity, trapped in our own little world. But Delmarva Public Radio essayist George Merrill noticed one afternoon that trees may teach us a valuable lesson about caring for one another.
A variety of trees grow in my yard. They include cherries, a hackberry, gums, two willow oaks, a redbud, a persimmon, a pear tree, several maples, five locusts, three hollies, bayberries, longleaf pines, and two apple trees, one of which sadly won't last the winter. It's a mixed neighborhood where trees of different species grow close together. The Eastern Shore has been witnessing the felling of trees for new homes and electric wires. There's a constant whine of chainsaws. As trees fall to the earth with a thunderous crash, I feel as if holy ground is being desecrated. As a child, I was acutely aware of trees. A few were especially memorable. A weeping willow grew just below my bedroom window, and two sycamores defined the western edges of our property. My earliest experience of grief was when the willow was toppled in a hurricane. I remember distinctly mourning its loss. Near the house I grew up in, my mother had a copper beech planted. It had a majestically arched crown, and the leaves shone like bright, oversized pennies. I was enthralled as much with the color that the tree was as the color that it was not. Until discovering the copper beech, I believed all trees leaved in green, except during the fall. I spent many hours with my back resting on one of the two sycamores. I feared for them as their mottled bark looked like a neighbor's psoriasis that I thought the tree might be diseased. The sycamores were then large enough to create shade, and on hot summer days I sat under one or the other, just dreaming away the hours while watching the cumulus clouds build in the summer sky. As I think of it now, this would be a rare event for my grandchildren. In those days, it was only the trees, the lawn, the sky, the clouds, and me. I wasn't a reader then and had no access to diversions like the iPhone, filling every unclaimed minute with chatter and images. It is well nigh impossible now for any young person to spend solitary time with him or herself alone, with only the natural world as a companion. I suspect in time such deprivation will leave that generation with a longing in the soul, a deep hunger to experience our communion with creation. There's not a collection of trees in my yard. There's a communion of life. Peter Vohleben, a forester in Germany's Eifel Mountains, has documented how trees are naturally communal in that they look out for one another. They can communicate above ground by scent, and underground through fungal connections in their roots that equip trees to feed their hungry neighbors. It's known as the wood wide web. Some trees enjoy extraordinary longevity, and one spruce in Denmark is 9,500 years old, 115 years more than a human lifespan. For a world that's technologically strong and yet still so spiritually frail, I see trees as bringing grace and beauty to a world desperately longing for both. They also bring the message that the gift of life gains its meaning when we're caring for one another. George Merrill, On the Shore.